Hello, everyone. This is Don Jurgler, and welcome to the Insuring Cannabis Podcast, a bi-monthly trip into the intersection of two industries that couldn't be more different. 2020 was the year of COVID, the year of racial and political unrest, or more popularly, the year we'd all like to forget. Last month, before taking hiatus, we had an episode on predictions for 2021 with Phil Skaggs, General Counsel at the American Association of Insurance Services, AAIS, and Morgan Fox with the National Cannabis Industry Association. You can hear their predictions where you're listening to this segment on insurancejournal.tv. It's podcast number 15. Since then, a lot has happened. A lot. So it's probably good to do another year-ahead outlook, this time with the election results in. It makes a big difference. President-elect Joe Biden has chosen as his nominee for U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, a federal judge and former Supreme Court nominee who many believe is likely to be quite a bit kinder to the cannabis industry. And Biden's pick to run the U.S. Department of Commerce is Rhode Island Governor Gia Raimondo, a supporter of legalizing marijuana. The White House, Senate, and the House are all now in the hands of a party that it so far has proven to be a bit more affable to cannabis and legalization efforts. That may bode well, too, for the long-stuck Moore Act and the Safe Banking Act. One would federally decriminalize cannabis, and the other would create a safe harbor for banks and insurers doing business in the cannabis space. With that all said, let's come up with a name for 2021 to frame our conversation. I hereby dub it the Year of the Purple Unicorn. At least more appropriately, the Year of the Purple Unicorn for the cannabis industry. How's that, you say? Well, you take a severely underserved market that has continued to grow, thanks in part to the essential business designation it was given during the pandemic, and then add five states coming online with either medical or adult-use cannabis. That yields a bunch of businesses with a great deal of cash and lots of growth potential in desperate need of guidance and risk protection. Yet there are a few insurance professionals with a breadth of experience currently serving the cannabis industry. That makes these insurance pros quite rare, and quite the prize. They're purple unicorns. That analogy may sound a bit of a reach, so let me introduce you to a few such mystical creatures. Eric Schutz is with NIF Group Inc., a GenCap company. He's a broker, underwriter, and risk manager specializing in hard-to-place multi-state cannabis insurance programs. I asked him to describe 2021 in the insuring cannabis space in a few words, and how brokers who want to get in on the Green Rush feast should go about joining the herd.
Without a doubt, bar none, the year of the purple unicorn. I mean, that was the last quarter of 2020, starting to see the beginning of the larger renewals coming through and the, changes in property capacity. We'll get there soon. But, there's no cannabis insurance training camp per se, as there are in a lot of other specialized industries and fields within insurance. So, it's bootstrap learning. It's reading the forms. It's going to seminars. It's having conversations with people like Don and, other folks in the space and learning and networking. And really just, a lot of it's just taking your lumps and rolling up your sleeves. And, I would be remiss if I didn't say it was really hard in the beginning.
Schutz is placing his bets that the year ahead in insuring cannabis will be a good one. He likes the unders.
Because it's going to start with the three unders: underdeveloped, underserved, underappreciated. We've got a virgin market, even though it's been around for over 10 years at this point, with very restrictive coverage, limited options, not robust marketplace. Few players, and it tells me that we've got a long way to go in bringing the product to a place where it really truly serves the cannabis insured in the way it does. A tire shop or a Dunkin' Donuts or any other Main Street mercantile risk, because this is what these accounts should be treated as in time, and we're far from that. Underserved, I feel as agents, brokers, community at large, insurance community, and just the cultural community of America, we don't really, or we haven't so much jumped in and gotten into the industry and served it as we should. Being a broker myself, I look for competition. And my bosses might kick me for saying this right now, but I want there to be more folks like me out there doing this, knowing the coverage and taking good care of these clients. They deserve it. They're no different than you know, those Main Street mercantile risks I talk about. But for some reason, we've got this stigma that sticks to them or what have you, and we don't have enough people that really can take good care of these folks. And you go to any other line of business, oil and gas, ocean marine, you know, there's more experts and specialists than you have time to discuss. But where is that in cannabis? We need more of them here to serve the needs of this industry and to push for better regulations, better insurance coverage, and just a more open marketplace that's, you know, good for the client and good for you know, the American people. Underappreciated, you know, I feel like the quality of accounts, the risk in itself is completely overlooked and taken back by the cannabis stigma and the perception of, you know, these folks coming from some, you know, black informal gray market, whatever you want to call it, where really these are very good quality risks if you actually will take a look at them. And that's the issue, is getting, you know, different carriers and markets of things to appreciate the quality of these accounts and how well they are built and the protections that they have in many states to be in compliance. You're an A plus risk, but you're getting D minus rates, and it's really not equitable. And I think that we should, you know, appreciate that these are quality accounts and give them the rating and the terms that they deserve. And we're far from that, unfortunately.
The political tailwinds are also shaping up rather nicely.
It's going to change how cannabis operators operate and change the way they expand. It, honestly, in my opinion, is going to put a large slowdown to all of the sale leasebacks that are happening to raise funds. So I'm a big supporter of the Safe Banking Act, looking forward to getting that passed hopefully as soon as possible this year. The MORE Act, you know, that's a little more of a challenge, I think. It is the lead sponsor is Kamala Harris, Vice President-elect. So I think that will naturally, you know, help push it forward. I think it's a good bill. I think it's a little bit aspirational. I don't think there's anything wrong with being aspirational. My concern is that it might drag it down and not allow it to get passed. But I, you know, I see a lot of value in it. There's some good provisions for social equity, which I'm all for and a big supporter of. You know, I think it's got the right spirit. You know, it's at the Senate Finance Committee now. We'll kind of see how that all goes and plays out. And you know, hopefully some good will come of it, regardless of when it lands and how it comes through. But it would never be even, in my opinion, up for discussion today if Georgia had gone differently. So, you know, regardless what your political opinions are, it's going to change the structure of government and the efficiency with which they can get bills done. So we'll see how these two items go through. As far as the AG, I still think it's a little bit of a yet to be seen with Merrick Garland. We know, you know, it, based on the pick and some things that were kind of discussed when President Obama had selected him for the Supreme Court, there were some kind of discussions about, you know, where we felt as an industry would be on cannabis. And, you know, the sentiment was moderate, and, you know, I don't want to say it could be a lot worse, but it was, you know, unseen, but this is good. And, you know, we're excited about the potential. And I think I kind of leave it at that, because we don't really know, but it's certainly a new day and, you know, certainly a more moderate perspective, which generally is good for the cannabis industry. So, you know, we'll see, but I'm excited about that as well. Politics of it aside, just to see how it's going to help foster our industry and make things better for operators and consumers.
Dave Belsky, CEO and founder of Flower Hire, an executive search and recruitment company focused on the legal cannabis industry, is a longtime watcher of the political landscape. He likes what he's seeing.
Fast forwarding, yes, the blue wave or whatever you want to call it, I mean, it is fantastic for the industry, and it should be. Obviously, the Vice President Kamala Harris was the Senate sponsor of the MORE Act, right? Whether the MORE Act gets passed in some form or not, you know, or if it's the right thing to be seen, is, you know, it's who knows, you know, if what's gonna, how that's going to play out. But when, you know, Democrats have been, you know, aligned on the need for legal cannabis access, expungement of criminal records, and I think that controlling all three, both parts of the House and Senate of our Congress, as well as the presidency, we should be able to get some real traction from that, for sure. And how it actually happens or plays out, I don't know. I mean, there's been talks about people, big investors and in the industry already talking to the Chuck Schumers of the world about, cannabis and so there's a ton of positivity, from industry insiders about what this means. I still think, cautious optimism is the name of the game, right? It's going to take lots of time, and there's a lot that the government needs to solve outside of cannabis. And we'd be fooling ourselves to think that cannabis is the most important thing that this government, this new Congress and the presidency needs to tackle first. But hopefully some relief in the form of banking reform, coupled with, descheduling, early on in 2021 would be fantastic. And then, figuring out where it goes from there.
The train has left the station. Charles Pyfrom, Chief Marketing Officer at CanGen Insurance Services, is always a good source for a pithy foretelling of what lies ahead in cannabis.
I think that cannabis is only going to continue to be more and more popular and be more and more legislation friendly at the federal level. I mean, long term, this will be approved at a federal level to anyone's guess at what that crystal ball says from a timing standpoint. But the train has left the station and it's on its way. And the openness and the expectations of legislators to pass bills and other sorts of laws and expectations that they pass down that are cannabis friendly, I think will continue to flourish in 2021.
By flourish, Pyfrom means not just more businesses obtaining policies, but current policyholders needing more insurance.
More and more operators who are already sophisticated in their operations are looking to expand and grow into new areas of the state or moving into a different sector of the cannabis economy. So we're looking at lots of buyers who are maybe just one section of the vertical moving into others, but also expanding into net new states and adjusting to what that looks like from an appropriate risk management standpoint. Once we see that coming to fruition, the sophistication of said buyer is not just looking to get basic insurance anymore, because these are multi-million dollar to hundreds of million dollar companies that are really taking risk management seriously and want insurance policies that cover the nature of their operations that they do on a daily basis like they would any other market.
It's not as if everything's rosy and there are no pain points to be found. Property insurance for cannabis operators, for example, is problematic, as are a number of lines of insurance that are pricey and difficult to find for cannabis businesses. Although Pyfrom sees an improvement at some point in the property market.
Property capacity certainly has been a pain point for cannabis, CBD, hemp operators for a long period of time. CanGen has been at the forefront of being a property capacity provider in a meaningful way, and we're working with our carrier and reinsurance partners to expand that to continue to deliver and support the additional growth of these cannabis operators. However, the property market as a whole is suffering, and if you take that in terms of general context of capacity allocations, allocating a balance sheet for what a lot of these reinsurers and carriers are looking to do, cannabis, unfortunately, just always isn't on the top of their list. But I'm happy to report that I think the capacity will continue to get there. It'll just be at a pace that, unfortunately, is slower than what most people would like, but it's on the way. Stay tuned.
I asked Schutz for an example of what the property insurance market is like for cannabis operators.
Let's just take a very base, simple example. Say, frame property at a maybe gold standard-ish rate of 40 cents, forget deductible, wind, all that. You take that exact same risk, same location, same quality kind, and it's a cannabis retailer instead of a sneaker retailer. You're now going to pay 45 to 50 cents at least. So you're talking about a 12.5, 25% increase. That gets even larger on a dollar amount when these businesses get larger. The bigger TIV accounts may be the the percent is not up to 25, we're still talking 10, 15 or more, then you're also looking in form and you're going to be getting more restrictive coverage and terms. And truly, these aren't going to be apples to apples risk, because that's, sneaker retail store probably has a security system, might have closed caption TV. I don't think they're going to have a big cash safe, and they're not going to have the same protections that marijuana cannabis shop is going to have, whether it's because they're required by law or just because it's good risk management. They're going to have all those theft protections. So really, they actually are better risk, and they're still going to get that worse rate. So that's kind of the illustration of, the unfair parity and how big the differential can be of, 10 to 25% for better risk with worse coverage.
The driver of property coverage pain is, as previously mentioned, largely a function of capacity.
The market is going in two different places. We have insureds who are growing, expanding horizontally and vertically, either integrating, into grow retail, or they're buying, additional retailers, additional vertically integrated operations within the state or out. That's creating a need for more limit on a per location basis, also on a scheduled basis. Obviously, when you have spread of risk, it's quite a bit easier. But in some of these states, because of the regulatory environment, it's not very easy or practical to have multiple locations. And, if you have to ship from your grower to your processor, that's cost and risk. So, a lot of these guys are putting all their apples in one basket. Also as common as a triple net lease. So they're also now covering the building. So they're burning through a lot of property limit in a place where there isn't much available. There are some carriers that have slightly restricted limits going into 2021. I can think of one that's expanded and it's offering some excess, which is very exciting. It will be key to some critical larger renewals coming up. But that, that's one just small piece of the whole pie.
Now let's get back to the upsides. Growth can fix just about anything, right? Belsky, of course, is high in the hiring outlook for 2021 and beyond.
This could be the biggest workforce mobilization in the last 70, 80 years in terms of getting people to work in a new industry, and it's really exciting because of that.
Flower Hire recently partnered with the Marshall Cannabis Club from the University of Southern California to do a little employment forecasting. The findings from that pairing were that by 2026, there will be roughly 650,000 people across the nation working in cannabis, more than double the estimated 300 to 320,000 currently employed in the market. And that growth will inevitably create a greater need for providers of products and services, like insurance.
One of the unique things about this industry is that those tier one service providers for insurance, for payroll, for, workman's comp to D&O to even medical insurance, a lot of the tier one service providers, won't touch the space. So you get like a competent HR professional or financial person or head of administration or legal officer hired in cannabis. They have to find unique solutions for getting the services and the business services that they're used to. Now, the services and the solutions exist. It's just you have to look a little harder to find them. And because you have to look a little harder, often you find higher costs.
Belsky believes federal legislation, like passage of SAFE Banking or the MORE Act, would be a fine remedy.
Now, hopefully with, if the federal government passes some type of meaningful banking reform and descheduling, then that would mean more tier one service providers come into the space, and because we're competitive and prices go down to the benefit of the businesses in the industry, but that hasn't happened yet.
If you're listening and waiting for a bottom line, well, Pyfrom believes that now is a great time to be in the cannabis business. And if you're not already, he advises insurance professionals to consider getting in. Purple unicorns need friends.
For insurers, it's certainly another area where we look to make sure we're addressing our diversification of our book of business. And cannabis can, again, be another area where, as an insurer, you're looking to say this is a good type of risk and exposure, and we'd like to support an up-and-coming industry to diversify our risk portfolio. And in all fairness, you know what, as this coronavirus pandemic, hopefully we have more vaccine rollouts in 2021 and people get some level of normalcy back in their lives to whatever degree that looks like on an individual or corporate-wide basis, cannabis is going to come out as a clear winner in this overall issue. And so I would encourage brokers and operators in the space to keep your head down, keep pushing ahead, focus on this as an area of growth for your firm, for you as an individual, for you as an operator, and really make the most of what 2021 will entail as we come out of this economic challenging time with the pandemic ongoing.
Well, there you have it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Insuring Cannabis Podcast. You can find other episodes from this series by visiting insurancejournal.tv. Until next time, I'm Don Jurgler.